I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of Jeremiah and the chapter number 1. That is Jeremiah chapter 1. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word together. And we just read a few verses from this passage of God's word. That's Jeremiah chapter 1, commencing to read at the verse number 14. Let's read the word of the Lord. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burnt incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore, gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazed walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Let's just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come into thy holy presence afresh, and we thank thee for the songs of Zion that we have been singing together. We thank thee, our God, for the note of victory. Keep on believing. Jesus is near. Keep on believing. There's nothing to fear. Oh God, we thank thee that thou dost even prepare a feast in the wilderness for thy people. We bless thee, our God, our Heavenly Father. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. And all I've got to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. Lord, I pray that you'll bless your people as we gather around thy word and give us the anointing of thy Holy Spirit. Grant it today that we might know and hear the voice of God speaking to our hearts and leading us into all truth. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Now, when we started our study in the book of the life of Jeremiah, we noted that God raised up his prophet for such a time as that. It was a day of crisis in which Jeremiah was raised up by God. And the crisis was because of the sin of Judah. Judah had grievously sinned against the God of glory. And of course, God showed great grace and displayed his grace in rebuking Judah because of their sin. And he called them back unto himself. He called them to repentance. But the sad reality is this, that Judah was rebellious against God. They would not turn. They would not yield unto the Lord. Now, when we looked at the call of God in the life of Jeremiah, we notice that God not only elected him and chose him for the position of leadership in the land of Judah at that time, but God equipped him, and God empowered him, and God enlightened him, and God encouraged him. Those are all the things that the Lord did for his child. Because you see, when God calls a person, God doesn't say, well, now there's my calling, just on you go. Thank God he gives you the power to fulfill. And you know, even when we feel weakest, then thank God we can be sure of this, that when we are weak, thank God he's strong. And our power is not in the efforts or the wisdom or the authority of man, but it is in the power of the Spirit of God. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And you know, God enabled Jeremiah to discharge his responsibility as God's man for that hour. Now, the name Jeremiah means when Jehovah, or whom Jehovah appoints. And let me tell you, my friend, that is very appropriate, because only God's appointment would have kept Jeremiah faithful in his day and generation. Because outside of that, Jeremiah would have certainly not remained faithful, but he ministered during the last 40 years of Judah's history. And God helped him to remain faithful. That does not mean he didn't fall. We'll look at that this morning. That doesn't mean that he was never discouraged. But it does mean that God, even when he fell, God lifted him up. And God empowered him to go on and give him the strength to press on with God. And it's only God can give us the power to go on. And thank God we just keep on believing. As we've been singing, Jesus is near. Keep on believing. There's nothing to fear. Now we noticed that as God's instrument and God's vessel, Jeremiah had a definite word from the Lord. And of course, that's what's so important. Whenever you're able to stand up before a congregation or before a nation and say, I have got a word from God for you. This is the word of the Lord. And my friend, the word that Jeremiah had for Judah was definitely applicable to Judah at that particular time. You notice that over and over again, there's this phrase, thus saith the Lord, or the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, or hear ye the word of the Lord, or thus saith the Lord of hosts. Those words are repeated over and over again in the book of Jeremiah. And that means the emphasis was that it wasn't Jeremiah that was speaking, because if it was simply from Jeremiah, they could reject it. But this was God speaking. He was speaking through his instrument. He was speaking through his vessel. But friend, this was the word of the Lord. Now, whenever we studied this, we noticed, first of all, the substance of Jeremiah's preaching. And of course, it was what God had got to say. That was the subject. It was the word of the Lord. But friend, it wasn't an easy word. Because the word of the Lord at that particular time was a word of imminent judgment. The judgment was imminent. It was not only imminent, it was irreversible, because Israel had so sinned and rebelled against God. God was most certainly going to judge them because of their sin. And of course, our brother read that little verse this morning. Judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. And friend, it's so easy whenever we think about judgment that God is going to judge the sinner and God is going to consign the sinner to hell. Now, that's true. If a man goes on in a sin, God will consign them to hell for all eternity. And friend, there's no way back and there's no way out of that pit of a Christless eternity. But it is also true that judgment is imminent for those who rebel against God, who profess to be his people. Those who are rebellious against what God is doing and what God is saying, because judgment must begin at the house of God. And that verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then God says, listen, I'll forgive their sin, and God says, I'll heal their land. If my people, and so therefore judgment must begin at the house of God. Now Judah was the people of God. But Judah persisted in their sin against God. They persisted in rebelling against God, even though God was showing his grace. Even God was extending his grace time and time and time again. He was extending his grace and mercy to them. And yet they continued on. And as we'll see in a moment, how they reacted to the message. But they did rebel against it. And because of that sin, and because of that rebellion, the message which God had for Judah through Jeremiah was a solemn one. It was a solemn message of judgment. And so the substance of Jeremiah's preaching was one of judgment. Judgment upon his people, Judah. But then we come, secondly, to the source of Jeremiah's persecution. Because let me tell you, my friend, whenever Jeremiah remained faithful to God, there was something he learned. It costs to be faithful. It costs to be faithful. Now, let me tell you, the Lord did not mislead his child into saying, well, listen, Jeremiah, I'm making you a prophet, but listen, the road's going to be easy. And everybody's going to listen to you, and everyone's going to just, they're going to surrender to what you have to say. No, friend, God never misled his child. There may be times that perhaps Jeremiah felt it, and we'll see that this morning. But God never misled his child. Listen, God was very clear. Look in Jeremiah chapter 1. This is what God says in verse number 17. Therefore, gird up thy loins, arise, speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. And then God says this, behold, I have made thee this day a defense city. I've made thee an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. His message was against. He was preaching against. And God said, listen, but I have made thee a defense city. God says, I've made thee an iron pillar. And then God said this, verse 19, they shall fight against thee. God's making it clear. Listen, they're not going to yield. They're not going to back down. You see, the Lord knew the hearts of these people. They were so rebellious. He says, they shall fight against thee. They're going to take it out on you, Jeremiah. And they shall, here's the promise, but they shall not prevail against thee. He says, but for I am with thee, saith the Lord, and I'm with you to deliver you. And friend, what an encouragement it was to God's child. Because he has a promise. Now, no matter how dark the day was, let me tell you this. If all were easy, if all were bright, where would the cross be? Where would the fight? But in the hardness, God gives to you chances of proving that you're true. And God wants you to be true. But friend, let me tell you, it's easy to say, Lord, I'll be faithful to you whenever the garden's full of roses. And the perfume of the roses pervading the air. But let me tell you, life's not like that. On the roses there's thorns. And let me tell you, the thorns can pierce you. And the thorns can hurt you. And your feet can be upon those stones, friends. And let me tell you, at times your feet can be cut. It says, they shall fight against thee, Jeremiah. But then God comes in immediately, but they'll not prevail. Don't get discouraged. Don't be overcome by the fight. But they are going to fight against you. They are going to fight against you. And friend, I want you to notice here, I want you to notice the source of Jeremiah's persecution. Why were they fighting against him, and how did they fight against him? Let me think about what we read in the Word of God, and how they reacted to what Jeremiah had to say. Look at chapter 6 for a moment. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 10. This is what it says here. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, of the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. It is as a reproach. God's word, in other words, was an utter scorn to them. In other words, they would sneer at Jeremiah's message. My, they weren't putting their arms around him. They would sneer at the messenger and the message. Why? Because they were refusing. Their hearts were so rebellious. It says here, listen, they have no delight in it. They have no delight in my word. They don't love my word. They don't want my word. They will actually find my word a reproach unto them. Then turn to chapter 17. Chapter 17 and verse number 15. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. Let it come now. In other words, they're mocking his message because they're saying, listen, it's unbelievable. It's unfulfilled. You see, friend, is that not true today? I remember when I was a boy, preachers used to stand up and they preached about the second coming of Christ. And they said that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming. And all of those years that I've been from my childhood until now, they say, well, where is the promise of his coming? Where is it? This hasn't been fulfilled. And you preach, you're standing up 50 years now after all of those hearing the preachers of your day, and now 50 years on, you're still telling me the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Yes, he is, friend. Yes, he is. But they say it's not fulfilled. Where is the promise? Where is the promise of his coming? Keep your hand in Jeremiah. Turn to 2 Peter. And when you come to 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3. You see, God knows all about the reaction of man. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 3 for a moment. It says there in verse number 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Yes, sure, it's still going on. The Lord hasn't come. But friend, let me tell you, he is. He's promised he's coming, and he will. The Bible tells us, of course, he comes as a thief in the night. It says when men are least expecting it. You see, people are not expecting it because everything has gone on. Even though preachers have warned about the second coming of Jesus Christ, things are still going on to this day. And so therefore they think that it's just go on. It just will go on. Let me tell you, the Lord has promised that one day he will send forth the angel to declare, time shall be no more. God says time's up. And let me tell you, my friend, it will happen exactly as God has given it, as God has purposed it, as God has planned it. Because the Bible says, of that day knoweth no man, my Father only. And way back then, whenever those words are written, my Father knows. The Lord, God knows the very day, the very moment of Jesus Christ coming again. We don't. But friend, it says this, be ready. Be ready. What if he were to come today? Before God, are you ready? What if death was to come today? Are you ready to meet the Lord? And the answer is, dear unconverted person, no, you're not. Child of God, can I ask you the question? Are you ready? How will the Lord find you whenever he comes? How will the Lord find you whenever he calls? In fellowship with him? Walking with him? Or are you walking at a distance? Remember it says that he followed, Peter followed afar off. And it's true, there are many of God's people and they're following afar off. They're not walking in close communion with the Lord, friend. They know what God knows it. How are we with God? Tell me, what is our relationship with the Lord this morning? Before you came to God's house this morning, let me ask you this. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Before you came to God's house, did you say, God, have a word for me? Lord, speak to my heart. And God, make me willing. Make me willing. Whatever word you've got to say, is it a word of chastisement? Is it a word of rebuke? But oh God, give me a surrendered heart. Make me willing. That, Lord, I will bow, I will bend to thy word. I will surrender to what you have to say. And yet, my friend, that's not true, because many of a person has sat in God's house professing the name of Jesus Christ, and they've sat in God's house in total rebellion against God. Rebelling against God. Now, the face might smile, but I can tell you, the heart's different. Thou, God, knowest me. Thou, God, seest me. You know me altogether. And let me tell you, they mocked and they said in Jeremiah 17:15, behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. Let it come now. If his judgment's coming, let it come now. What an awful thing, friend. How rebellious their heart was that they'd actually say, well, if judgment's coming, let it come now. That's how hard their hearts were. Judah, the people of God. And their hearts were so hard that they were even mocking the message as unbelievable and as unfulfilled. They derided the prophet. Then go to chapter 18. Chapter 18, let's look at verse number 18. Then said they, come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the Lord shall not perish, or the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Was it not utter rebellion? No matter what God says, I'm not going to heed. I'm not going to listen to it. That's defiance. Let us not give heed to any of his words. And yet all that Jeremiah was doing, God says, "Son of man, tell them my word." It's my word. It's my word. Now notice in that passage, because you see, friend, they realized that Jeremiah's word required obedience. But they said, "We will not give heed to any." We're not going to obey. We're going to do our thing. And friend, they were willing. They were willing because they didn't believe that God was going to judge them. Because up to that present moment, they seemed to get off with it. And therefore they thought, "We can still do it. We can still rebel. We can still defy God." And notice, my friend, let us not give heed to any of his words. They opposed Jeremiah solely. Why? Because of his words. It was his words. And what were they going to use against him? Look at verse 18 again. "Come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah." Here's Judah, and they're planning a scheme against God's servant. Now it says this, "Come," verse 18, "come, let us smite him." Not with a fist. No. How do they say we'll smite him? How do they say we'll destroy him? Listen, "Come, let us smite him with the tongue." With the tongue. And let me tell you, my friend, you and I ought to know this. You can do more damage with a tongue than you can do with a pen or anything else. You can destroy. But you'll not be able to take it back again. Because once it's spoken, it can't be withdrawn. And that's why we ought to be careful. Because here were a people who were not willing to submit. They rebelled, openly rebelled, because of the message. Now we haven't time to go into this, but let me just tell you what they did. This is what they did. In Jeremiah chapter 11, we find that they sought to assassinate him. They tried to kill him. In chapter 20, they put him in stocks and they publicly humiliated him. In chapter 20 as well, they sought grounds for accusing him of treason. In chapter 28, they openly contradicted him. In chapter 32, they imprisoned him. In chapter 38, they cast him into a disused well, seeking to silence him. That was the persecution of God's church. Now, friend, tell me this. How could a people get to a stage where they would be willing to do this? Well, why were they so bold in doing this? That they thought that somehow that they could do this without God doing anything. Why? Well, the answer is very simple. They had misguided counsel. You see, the people trusted the message of false prophets. Because whilst there was a man, Jeremiah, who was the prophet of God, there were false prophets all around them. But they wanted to hear them rather than hearing the word from God. Jeremiah chapter 6. In Jeremiah chapter 6, it says there in verse number 14, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Chapter 8, verse number 11. "For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 13. "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine. But I give you assured peace in this place. That's what they were saying. Turn to chapter 23. And once again, what were these false prophets? Oh, there were plenty of the false prophets. In chapter 23, go down to verse number 17. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, here it is, no evil shall come upon you. God's not going to do anything. In other words, listen, it doesn't matter what you do against God or against God's people or against God's servant. It doesn't matter. You can get away with it. Because God's not going to do anything. You're going to have peace about this. But it was a false prophet, friend. It wasn't. What did God say about these prophets? Did God say they're mine? Well, let's go to chapter 20. Chapter 20 of the book of Jeremiah. Here's what God said in verse number 6. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon. And there thou shalt die and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied. Here it is, you prophesied lies. You were lying. You were a liar. You prophesied in my name. And God says, listen, you will go into Babylon. You will go into captivity. And there you'll die. But also the people you prophesied, they're going to die too. And let me tell you, friend, there's ministers that stand Sunday after Sunday in the pulpits and they're leading their congregations to hell. And they're not saved themselves, but I tell you this, they're leading their congregations to a Christless eternity in that same hell. And they're prophesying lies. They're telling them all's well. You can live like you like. You can sin away, but it doesn't matter. God will not. You know, everybody gets into heaven. The door's open for everyone. Let me tell you, my friend, the door to heaven is Jesus. And he says, by me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. You go in through Christ. I'm the door, says Jesus. And you'll not get to heaven without coming God's way. Look at Jeremiah chapter 28. And Jeremiah chapter 28, listen to the Lord. Here was a false prophet again. Verse number 15, Jeremiah 28. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee. God hasn't sent you. But thou makest this people to trust in a lie. You're making the people trust in a lie. How many people have gone and sat under preachers that told them, do the best you can. Live as clean a life as you possibly can, and she'll make it out in the end, friend. Let me tell you this. There ends a lost eternity. And yet they believed a lie. They believed a lie. And Jeremiah faced Hananiah the prophet and he said, listen, the Lord hath not sent thee. Thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, verse 16, saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. God says, I'll get rid of you. God says, I'm going to take you away. This year, thou shalt die because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. That was it. They were rebelling, not against Jeremiah, but against the Lord. Turn to chapter 29. Chapter 29, verse number 30. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, send to all them of the captivity, saying, thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Helamite, because that Shemaiah had prophesied unto you, and I sent him not. And he caused you to trust in a lie. God says these prophets are liars. But friend, they believed the lie rather than the truth. And does not a sinner, he doesn't want to repent of his sin. He wants to believe that somehow he will make it out all right. That somehow there is another way to heaven. That somehow that God will overlook a sin. That somehow you can live a sinner and die a saint without Christ. And they believe a lie. Because it's what they want to hear. And though Jeremiah was faithful, yet friend, they had misguided counsel, but they had something else. They had a mistaken confidence. Turn to chapter 21 for a moment. Chapter 21. And you look in verse number 2, it says this, or verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, because King Hezekiah sent unto him, verse 2, inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord for us. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us. If so be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go out from us. Now, what is that all about? The Babylonian army was gathered around the city of Jerusalem. They were besieging the city of Jerusalem. And in the desperation of King Zedekiah, he sends to Jeremiah the prophet, and he says, listen, Jeremiah, inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord for us. If so be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us. What Zedekiah was doing is this, friend. You see, there was a time during the reign of Hezekiah. The Assyrian army had gathered around the city of Jerusalem. And as the Assyrian army gathered around Jerusalem, Hezekiah and the people had sought the face of God, friend. And what did God do? God delivered. They repented of their sin, and God had given them a deliverance. That's what he's talking about. The wondrous works that God did in the past. Whenever the Assyrian army was gathered around Jerusalem, God delivered us. And so he sends to Jeremiah and says, inquire of the Lord, that God will repeat that. In other words, that God will do a repeat performance. That as God delivered in the days of Hezekiah, God is going to deliver now in our days. But there was a difference. Zedekiah wanted God's deliverance without repentance. They didn't turn to God. They didn't fall on their face before God and acknowledge their sin. No, no. They wanted God to deliver them and let them sin away. And is that not true today? How many men and women, when the doctor tells them about their sickness and their illness, perhaps it's serious, and they say, please pray for me that God will heal me. Now, friend, they're looking for the healing, but they're not looking for salvation. They want to be healed to get back to their sin. That's all they want. And that's exactly what they were wanting here. And here's a faithful preacher, and he's faced with this request from the king. Inquire of God for us. Inquire of God. That he'll do a repeat performance. That the Babylonian army may go up from us. That we'll be saved again. But we'll sin. We'll continue in our sin. They had a mistaken confidence, friend. And here we find that God's servant is faced with a situation, but he has to be faithful to God and tell it as it is. Let his name perish, but let God's word be honored. There was no deliverance. Ah, yes, there were those who said, peace, peace. You'll not have famine. You'll not have the sword. But it was all a lie. It wasn't from God. Here's my last thought this morning, because time's away. And not only do we have the substance of his preaching, not only do we have the source of his persecution, but we have the shadow of his perplexity. If you read in Jeremiah chapter 15, these words, let me read this to you. Jeremiah chapter 15, look at verse 16. Thy words were found, and that I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord of God of hosts. And what we find there is this, that Jeremiah, whenever he receives God's word, he expresses his delight in the word of the Lord, even though it was a message of judgment. Jeremiah was happy to identify himself with God. He was happy. He said, listen, he says, I did eat your words, and thy words were unto me a joy and rejoicing of my heart, because he loved the Lord. More than anything else, friend, he loved the Lord. What a blessing. Oh, I think now of Elijah. Remember, he's on the top of Mount Carmel. And then he slays the prophets of Baal. Victory. But friend, that's not the whole story. You see, Jeremiah, like Elijah, fainted in the battle for a moment. He was discouraged in the battle. It was a serious discouragement, because turn with me to chapter 20. We can only touch on this because I have to tell you folks, I have to go immediately after service to the south of this island to preach this afternoon and then come back again. So therefore, I have to leave swiftly. But we've got to get this. Jeremiah chapter 20. Look at verse 7. He says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. He's in a valley. And friend, it is true that every one of us in God's house, sometime or other in our lives, we have had valley experiences. We're not always on the top of the mountain. And it's not always sunshine. There are times that we've been far from the mountaintop. We've been in a dark valley. But you know, in his calling, God had never told Jeremiah it was going to be easy. If I never had a problem, sure, I'd never know that Christ could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God can really do. And friend, whenever you face valley experience, that is not there to destroy you. But if you're there in the will of God, God has a purpose and God has a plan to teach you there in tough times. And God, even though he was persecuted, yet God still had a promise to bring him through. And it is true that sometimes whenever we're in trouble and our back's against the wall and we're in deep valley experiences, we can foolishly charge God with things. And we can say things that otherwise we never would have said. I do not believe that Jeremiah would have said this if he had thought clearly through. He says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. God did not deceive him, friend. Right in the chapter 1, God told him, they'll fight against you. But right in the chapter 1, God promised him, I'm with you. I'll bring you through. You see, look at verse number 8. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried out violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. He was the butt of ridicule. He was the butt of scorn. And friend, to be honest, let's be faithful. Let's be honest about it. That's not easy to bear. When you're the butt of scorn, whenever you're the laughing stock, whenever you're the one that's been held in derision, whenever you're the one that's been talked about, friend, that's not easy. It's not easy. And it wasn't easy for God's servant. And all he was doing was being faithful to God. Now, very quickly, I want you to notice his decision. Look at verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. In his despondency, I want you to get this. In his despondency, Jeremiah decided to resign. Things were not going his way, and he wanted to quit. You ever felt like that? I have. When things have been tough, hard, difficult. He said, Lord, I want to terminate my prophetic calling. Notice what he says. I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. That was his decision. Notice very quickly, secondly, his discovery. Verse number 9 again. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire. His word was in my heart. And friend, let me tell you see, when the word of God is in your heart, it will not rest content in resigning from serving the Lord. It will not. But the word of God will keep you faithful to the Lord. The word of God will inspire you to greater service and to faithfulness to the Lord. You'll not give up. And you'll not give in. Do you know why? Because the work of God is far more important than you and me. The honor of Christ is more important than me. And so he made his decision. But then he made his discovery. Lastly, he made his declaration. He said this. That God's word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I can't stop to tell it. I cannot give in. Looking at his circumstances and humanly speaking, it was a hard lot. And the message that he had to proclaim, it was a burdensome message. Friend, listen, he was tempted to shrink from telling the people what God had said. And yet he couldn't quit serving the Lord. Why? Because the word of God was in his heart and he could not stay. He could not withstay telling it to the people. He had to. Because if he had remained silent, I was weary with forbearing. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Lord, teach me. Teach me to wait and keep me faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word this morning. And we pray that thou will help us to keep on the firing line, keep us faithful, keep us serving. Until, Lord Jesus, you come, or until you call. We pray that thou will bless this witness upon this hill. We pray that our God, our Heavenly Father, that the light will never dim, that the gospel message will never be silent. But, oh God, help us to tell it around and let it abound that there's life in the risen Lord. Oh God, bless your people. Encourage them. Help us to go on with thee. Help us, our God, our Father, to stand in the gap. I looked for a man to stand in the gap. I found none. Oh God, I pray that we might say, like Isaiah of old, here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with us this day. Every day until Jesus come or call, then forevermore. Amen.